everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of season 9 of Move Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the Die Hard duo, Die Hard 4 and 5, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Jake Cluett of the Deep Blue Sea Pod. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
Hello, I am back. You can spell my name with a 4 in the middle if you want, J4Y, because I'm all edgy and hackery.
Maybe we should put like a J4.0.
I like it.
Or live free or day.
CLU17T.
Maybe. Who knows? All right. So episode 2 begins with John scolding Lucy and ends with Farrell trying to bluff his way out.
Failing to
pretty much
add it.
Yeah, pretty much. And so we ended things yesterday at the 5 minute mark, where John and Lucy are having a little bit of an argument after John pulls Lucy's sort of boyfriend out of the car. And today we continue with their conversation. And John is a little upset because he started saying to her yesterday, "You don't answer your phone." And today he said, "Or return my calls." And then her response is, "Because I'm not talking to you."
Sure. He didn't get that.
Yeah. "Why aren't we talking this time, Lucy?" "Why not?" "What? You want a list? How about stuff like this? You spy on me. You drag my boyfriend out of the car. You said he's not your boyfriend." "He's not. I thought you just said I was." Jim gets his shot in there. And
this stuff is great.
Yeah. And then John looks at him and goes, "Shut up." And then she says, "You are such an Oh, I'm sorry I pulled your not boyfriend out of the car, okay?" And then Jim just looks at her and goes, "Lucy, baby, get in the car. Let's go." "No, no." And Lucy's a little upset at this point at everyone, not just John and not just Jim.
I mean, understandably, throughout, I mean, her not boyfriend was trying to grope her up against the witches, and then her dad that she's estranged from rocks up, pulls him out of the car. Like, he did the whole, like, no means no, like, out of earshot. Yeah. I don't know if he fully heard.
So that sort of makes it okay? No.
No, not at all. But it's like her displeasure at everyone involved in this scene is fully warranted, right. Fully justified. Yeah, for sure.
And then she says, "Well, both of you just go away." And John doesn't take that. And he goes, just talk to me." She goes, "I'm tired. Going to bed alone." And you see the look on Jim's face. He's like, "Huh? What?"
Aw.
He's a little shocked. He was not expecting the night to go this way.
Sure. This guy. This guy's a piece of work.
Then John has the typical fatherly advice and goes, "Damn right, you're going to bed alone."
Sure. So yeah, this guy is Jake McDorman, who I'll say I'm not familiar with. He's not, like, been in a bunch of stuff I recognize. But I think he does find it.
And then Lucy turns to walk away, and then John goes, "Lucy, honey, wait a minute. I want to talk to you. Just wait. Dad, when I want to talk to you, if I want to talk to you, I'll call you."
Which is a nice setup for later in the film when she calls him, because she wants to talk to him. But I would appreciate, a way to improve this film, in my opinion, is for Mary Elizabeth Winstead to not disappear for the next hour. She's excellent. I think she's really good and, like, sparky and, like, fun. In this
you can definitely tell that she is.
It's just not enough.
You can tell that she's a McLean. Much more than John is. Exactly.
Oh, we'll get to 5. We'll get to Jacqueline.
And as she's walking away, John goes, "Lucy, wait, Lucy, Lucy." Lucy McLean.
John not getting anything. is not understanding the situation at all.
And she goes, "It's not McClane, it's Gennaro." And then Jim looks at John and goes, "Chicks, right?"
And this guy, the look that Bruce Willis gives him, he should have turned into stone. He should have, like, lightning should have struck down upon Jim. Right. He should no longer be after that expression.
And then he goes, I'm gonna go.
Yeah. The first person in the scene to read something correctly. Maybe the first time Jim's ever read a
situation. And John even closes the door for him. You know, he's very chivalrous.
Maybe extra force kind of dent it shut.
No, he's polite. You know, we don't have more than that. The politeness. We see John then go back to his car, and he goes to open the door to his car, and then looks around. We get a nice long look from him. You know, he knows where Lucy's apartment or dorm is, whatever it is. You know, where her room is, and he sees the light go on, that she's finally reached there, and then he sees her silhouette there, which. Again, I mean, if this wasn't her father, it would be really, really creepy. But even if it's her father, it's still a little creepy that he knows exactly where, that anyone looking from, let's say Jim would have stayed there, he would still be able to see Lucy show up, in her room, which I don't know, a little strange. I guess it's good that she's not on. Either another floor or on the other side of the building. That would have been a problem also. John knew where to park. How's that? Now, it makes me wonder, right now we know that this is, we're about to find out what time this is. Okay. And it's really, really late. The question then remains is, how long has John been waiting for her to come back from this evening out with Jim?
Maybe he hasn't been waiting. Maybe he's followed them the whole time.
That's possible.
Maybe he told them for where they've been.
And then, he finally got fed up with watching them make out and decided that, it's time to break things up a little bit.
Just step in. Yeah.
Yeah, could be. Then we get a shot of John's radio. We see what radio band he's on. He's on 4.330, which, it would have been funny if it was just 4.0. Because, that is Die Hard 4.0.
Yeah, round it down.
And then we hear over the radio, John, it's Sclavino. And then John picks up the walkie-talkie. What the hell is it called? The
radio?
The handset of the radio. There you go. That's the word I was looking for. And he goes, go for McClane. And then Scovino says to him, what are you doing at Rutgers?
It's Chris Ellis. Another one of those, that exactly. Guys. And everything, including Connor.
There you go.
He's the guy who meets Trisha and Casey. Picks him up.
Okay. Now, do you know what Rutgers University is? Or where?
University. Beyond that, no. I've heard of it, but only through mentioning it.
Okay, so it's in New Jersey, and they have five different campuses. One in Blackwood, Camden, Newark, Scotch Plains, and Stratford, and the main one is in New Brunswick. Okay, so the question is, which branch are they in right now? Because shortly we're going to find out where he needs to go. But then the question is he in the campus that is close to where he needs to go or not? We'll never find out. It's just very interesting. It's the State University of New Jersey. It was opened in 1766, and it was originally called Queens College. And it is the eighth oldest college in the U.S. and the second oldest in New Jersey. Any idea what the oldest college and university in New Jersey might be?
Harvard.
Harvard's not in New Jersey. Harvard's in Massachusetts, Yale, I believe, Connecticut. In New Jersey,
I'm just guessing ones that in America. Sorry, I thought that's what the question was. No, I do not. MIT?
that's also in the Boston area. Yeah. Princeton.
Okay, I didn't know that was in New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And it is one of 9 colonial colleges that were chartered before the American Revolution. And then in 1825, it changed its name to Rutgers College in honor of Colonel Henry Rutgers, who gave a lot of money to the school, which makes a lot of sense of why they would decide to name it after him. So again, we don't know which campus they're on. And again, we will find out shortly that they are relatively close to another town that he needs to go to, which does have a campus. So it could be the same one. It could not be. Who knows? Then John says, how do you know where I am? And, then the response he gets is, our cars were low-jacked 4 years ago.
You gotta love action movies where the hero hates technology.
That's right.
And is bad at it. It's a staple.
Especially John McClane. John McClane.
Especially really... John McClane. Yeah, they have phones on planes now.
That's right. Wake up, it's the 90s. Fax machines. That's something that really lasted.
Wake up, it's the 2000s. No fax machines.
Exactly. And then he says to him, I'm staring at exactly where you are. Sir, that's not something I would turn on. Yeah, we did that.
John. No, John, we turned
them on. We turned them on. Now, do you know what a LoJack is?
It's something that tells them where you are.
So LoJack is a company that they created a technology for stolen vehicle recovery system in 1986, where basically, you know, they would put a marker in a car so that you can find where the car is located. You know, and again, this is back in the 80s before technology of today. So it's something that's, you know, the idea is, you know, they called it LoJack. You have any idea why it would have been called LoJack?
Because it's something to do with the opposite of hijack.
Exactly. Very good, Jay. Because the idea of hijack.
I'm going to stop there then.
Okay, there you go.
I got it right, so I'm going to stop.
That's right. The idea is that hijack means to steal a vehicle, and LoJack is to find it and get it back, which is really cool. Very cool idea. You know, for them to...
I wonder if they tried to find an opposite for Jack and couldn't find one.
This is LoJill.
LoJill, yeah. Like a, yeah.
Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill, exactly.
This is close as I could come to it, and definitely not an Adam Sandler movie.
No, sure.
Exactly. So by 2013, the LoJack system was being operated in 28 different states and more than 30 countries in the world. And there were more than 1,800 law enforcement agencies that had computers that were able to track the LoJacks within their police vehicles. In November of 2013, the company decided that they were going to expand it to more than just giving information to the authorities, but also to allow parents, automakers, and insurance companies to also gain access to finding out where the where a car is located at all times. The company was then bought up in 2016. By a company called CalAmp. And then in 2024, CalAmp actually filed for bankruptcy. So, it's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
So, okay. So at this point, he continues his conversation with Sclavino. And Sclavino says to him, listen, the feds have called in a favor. They're doing a sweep. They want us to pick up some computer hacker in Camden. Last name Farrell, first name Matthew. Whoa, Camden? What are you telling me this for? Just came in. Vino, it's 3 a.m. I was on my way home. I've sent a jughead from the academy. They'd be happy to do it. Now, again, as we said before, that there is a campus of Rutgers in Camden, but by his reaction here, it must say, seem as if
he's not there.
He's not at that one. Exactly.
I was like confused as to why like the map on his screen was Philadelphia, and I looked up because like, isn't he supposed to be in New Jersey? And I looked up and goes, oh yeah, they're next to each other.
Yeah.
Which I did not know.
Yeah. There are parts of New Jersey that are south of Philadelphia, not just east of it. Because
sure. In my mind, all the states are like distinct islands, miles of that. No states touch each other. Well, they were just like, you can't be near another state. You're in the state you're in. That's not how it works. I live on an island, people.
That's right.
That's this mindset.
Yeah, completely. And then Sclavino says to him, I can't just send the uniform. The feds demanded a senior detective. The kid's a high-value subject.
Why? Why?
I don't know.
they need 1,000 senior detectives across the country?
Apparently.
That seems overkill. It should just be the nearest guy. John, it should just be like, yeah, come on, John, you're just around the corner. Let's go get him. That's what this should be.
That's right. They should be calling the cop in Camden.
Yeah. Well, no, I was saying John should be in Camden. Like, he should be like, he's stalked his daughter back to her place, and her place is round the corner from Matt. It should be like, oh, we need a cop. We wouldn't ask John. He's a senior detective. Oh, no, he's just around the corner. Great. John, just go do this on your own. That's what this should be. It just shouldn't be like, go out of your way. Like, cross state lines to go and do this. That's not... Make it simpler.
Well,
simplify the script, please.
The question is,
we like to have John always on the back foot. He's always like immediately got to be like annoyed at the situation. He's going home at 3 a.m. His daughter hates him, and now he's got to do this thing. Ugh. But just simplify.
Yeah, but if you look at it from that perspective, I mean, look at the map that they show. There is a red dot that John is right near Camden. My assumption is.
I thought the red dot was Matt Farrell.
If he's talking about the LoJack of knowing where John's car is.
So you're saying the red dot is John?
That's my assumption.
All right, maybe. In which case, great.
In which case, right. He's close to Camden, even though...
he's just annoyed that he's got to like go 3 blocks over.
Exactly.
I mean, it's John McClane. He probably knows this isn't gonna be quick. No, probably not. Nothing I do is ever just like a quick... I'll just pick up a guide. Something's going to go wrong. So there's some European terrorist is going to show up and try and take my family hostage. Just this happens every time, every other night.
That's right.
It's an international incident with him.
Another Gruber brother.
They're running out of Gruber. It's one of the Gruber third cousins at this point.
That's right. And then he says to him, the kid's a high-value subject. I don't know. Just pick him up, escort him to the Hoover Building in D.C., they have some kind of computer breach there this morning. Great.
That's why he should be more annoyed. He's going to D.C. Not he's going to go to Camden. He's going to go to D.C.
D.C. is like another 3-hour drive. I mean,
it's so much further.
Well, maybe he just says to himself, I don't mind going to D.C., but I didn't want to stay in Camden.
Not with company.
No.
Ugh.
No, not at all. And then John says, all right, give me that information. Give me that name again. What is it? Because you owe me one, Jack. Now, I
we never see him again.
Never. it's great how he calls him Jack, he calls him Vino, and he calls him Sclavino. The same, throughout this 1 minute conversation that the two of them are having.
Yeah, this is where the other Die Hard film. This is one of the areas where the other Die Hard films are better than this one. Is they kind of set up and pay off. They bring out characters at the start, and then they pepper them throughout. And there's very few like. Hey, we see this guy for 25 seconds across the scene and then never go back to him. Right. Like they've established a character. He knows John. They've hired an actual actor to play him. And then, poof.
Correct.
I just feel like Chris Ellis could have been the Al Powell of this film. Could have been the guy, hey, Scarino, go look up this thing for me. Anything. But then, they spend half the film not going to use their phones. So, yeah.
True.
Anyway, I like Chris Ellis. It's my issue is they keep on bringing in people I like and then not going back to them for ages or at all.
Yeah. Well, they want to mix it up a little bit, I guess. Who knows? I just think it's great. Now, if you look, this is something really, really interesting that I noticed at the 2 minute and 13 second part of this episode. of this segment, I guess you can say. We can see Scorpino's
watch. See his watch.
That's right. What time is this, does that say?
I'd read like 3:05, which would tie in with what John exactly. said, 3 a.m.
I love the fact that they pay attention here and that they get it right. You know, he says it's 3 a.m. Yeah.
It's rare.
Correct. Correct. Chris Ellis.
I like to think they were lucky.
Well, Chris Ellis, you know, knows that in this scene, someone says 3 a.m., so I might as well, you know, turn my watch to 3 a.m.
Yeah, he's a pro.
Apparently, yeah. And at this point, John decides that, okay, he's going to go take care of this whole thing. You know, even though he doesn't really want to do it, but okay, follow Sclavino's, you know, instructions. And I'm going to go take care of figuring out who this guy, Matthew Farrell, must be. I don't know.
Now that no one knows. So it's like, we'd go do the thing. Because, you know, Sun Kang's ditching out. Send one of you guys to go get this guy. Hangs up. First one of the cops. Send one of you guys to go get this guy. Hangs up.
Right.
Just,
now, did you notice what happened? Notice what happened right before John agrees that he's going to go on this task mission, whatever it is?
No.
The lights go out in Lucy's room.
Oh, sure. Okay. I wasn't sure what the order of things was. I did see the lights go out.
He's looking and he sees the lights go out and then he's like, all right, I'll take care of it.
There's nothing keeping me here.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's safe and tucked in for the night. Correct.
Again, I still, you know, ask the question of why they would call up the New York Police Department for them to send a detective, as opposed to finding someone from a closer area, maybe in Camden or, you know.
What? So is John NYPD or is he NJPD?
No, he's NYPD.
Okay. Well, then they called him. Maybe they have issued out. Okay. They've got the LoJacks and all the cars, and so they've just kind of done some kind of algorithm to find the closest cop to each person they need to do. The closest senior detective, to each person that they need. And that happens to be, hey, John's close to this guy.
I mean, let's put it this way. Traveling from New York to Camden is a 2-hour drive.
Sure.
Makes absolutely
he's on the clock tailing his daughter on a date. This is bad police work.
You can take a train for $17. Oh, I'm sorry, you take a bus for $17 between
that's slightly more conspicuous, I think, is to tell somebody with a train. And you also have to be a lot luckier that they're following the train, right?
That's true. No, I was just talking about the that it only takes an hour to get there by train as opposed to 2 hours by car. That was the point I was trying to make there.
Yes, I know. I was just imagining someone trying to tail somebody, but they're on a train. The other person,
interesting idea.
I know that's not going to work.
Exactly. Then we get an overhead shot. John drives away, and then we get an overhead shot of a town. I guess it is Camden. And then we see lights in an apartment. Again, remember, this is 3 a.m.
Well, all the other lights are off. So that makes sense. Like back in my university days, I would often be up until all hours. I insomnia for my final year.
Do you think Matthew Farrell is a university student?
No, but he's like that similar age group.
Okay.
You know, I don't think he has a regular 9-to-5.
Probably not.
So.
And then we.
He's listening to music quite loudly, and has he got headphones on?
I don't see headphones.
No, he doesn't. Bad
neighbor. Did they have earbuds back then? Probably not.
I think they probably did, but they weren't going to have been good enough quality for hackers like to have, in my experience of knowing people. They like to have good headphones to play good quality music. So I feel like 2007 earbuds would not have been a good enough quality for what he wanted to listen to whilst hacking.
I agree.
My guess.
Okay, makes sense. So we see that he's watching a music video, listening to music very loudly, as you said, hacking away at his computer. You know, like a good hacker would be doing at 3 a.m. I didn't look up what video it is that he's watching here. I've no idea.
It is the I did, but it wasn't one I recognized. And then I didn't write it down. Dang it! There's only two songs in this film. I'm So Sick by Flyleaf.
Okay.
That's what this is.
I will take your word for it.
There's only two songs in my chapters, I should say. There are far more songs in the film.
And again, he's just...
Yeah, I've not heard of Flyleaf. I haven't seen him live.
And as he's hacking away, we see that he's actually on a chat.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And we see that it's very funny. His username is Farrell, F4RR3LL. And he's talking to Warlock, which is WAR10CK.
He's also talking to Requiem 8. I don't know what. Is that supposed to be like Requiem with a B and they turn the B into an 8? Or they're just like, I like the name Requiem. Wow, 8 people got there before that's me. Nine, maybe.
We don't get to see Requiem 0.
I could be Requiem 8. Right. Oh.
We unfortunately don't get to see their conversation. No, we get to see some of the icons on his computer screen.
Sure do.
Girlbot, Drink Me, Electric Mushrooms, Firewire HD, Pixels, Final Cut, Movie.
The Pixels has a skull icon, so I think that's supposed to be like dead Pixels.
GameCube.
Nice. Cain and Abel with an apple. Commune, but with a little
old phone. Right, so the chat that he's having with Warlock is, how bad do you think? Very. Count on you? No. Advice? Get disappeared. And then it says, Warlock has left chat. this Warlock doesn't want to have anything to do with this stuff.
when we meet him later, this checks out.
That's right. And then he continues hacking and he picks up his Red Bull, which seems to be empty. And then we see a shot of a black van, similar to the one we saw yesterday, happened to show up in front of his building. I guess if it's the same one, actually, we don't know where those other hackers were. Maybe they were also somewhere close to New Jersey. Who knows?
Maybe. And, that's right. The hacker who we see hacking in the library. Presumably, there are other people doing this kind of hacking in public places. Those public places may have been blown up.
We have no idea how they killed. How they killed that guy? Yeah. True, but then again, maybe they didn't blow everyone up. Maybe they decided to find other ingenious ways of killing people. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
We see that the guy in the car is also hacking. We see that he's connecting to Farrell's IP address.
He's hacking the hacker.
You'd think that Farrell would have failsafes. For this type of thing, you think most hackers would have failsafes for getting into their systems? Forget about the fact that they
probably do, but they didn't count on just how good of a hacker Thomas Gabriel is.
I mean, they're able to get into their apartments and put C4, under their computers.
Yeah, which is hard to do by hacking. Very difficult to do by hacking.
Break into each of these.
Just by hacking, it's impossible. But they did it.
Very impressive.
I don't think uploading a virus would cause. Uploading a good virus, I don't think would distort the screen in this kind of glitchy way. But I do appreciate that it's a good kind of cinematic shorthand for us to see. Okay, the virus is on now. The little glitchy thing. It's not realistic, but it works.
Correct.
Visually.
Yeah. Now, did you notice that there's a little bit of a continuity error here?
I sure did.
Because we're able to see his whole conversation with Warlock. Right. It's on the screen. Right before they get that, was it 3 minutes and 7 seconds? You can see the entire chat between them. And then 3:08, it's empty. Okay. And then after the other hacker does, starts his stuff about trying to catch his IP address. So we're talking, 20 seconds later, we see Farrell's screen.
The conversation's back
and
again.
No, yeah. We see Farrell's screen, and he's actually starting his conversation with Warlock. Yeah. And you can sort of see behind the screen the other conversation. He was already becoming something else very quickly. A kind of shit.
It's becoming.
That's very interesting. Mm.
Then it's like testing on a few chumps at the moment. It's a reply.
Yeah, it's very strange. Okay, but again, now that you just show us the entire conversation once again.
Oh, there's another, sorry, there's another username we can briefly make out behind Requiem 8, which is somebody called Stacy DD, with the E's or threes. I'm guessing that is a bot.
Probably. Right, he takes another swig of his Red Bull, and you know he's just very confused as to what's going on. And then the shot goes back to the hacker in the black van, who presses enter, and then we see on the screen uploading virus. You know, he's uploading the virus to Matthew Farrell's IP address, which is not good for Matthew Farrell.
No, it isn't. I did enjoy when Warlock leaves the chat his little avatar. Of a red devil, yes. Kind of flies off as well. That's nice.
And then they give us a little bit of a shot of the fact that there is C4, presumably inside of his computer, because you see like the fans of the computer. It doesn't look like it's on the outside.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's where it's going to be.
And then we see the yellow button, yellow light up, and as that happens, the screen is slightly glitched, and Farrell is very confused. He doesn't know what's going on. He looks at the, you know, he starts pounding on all the keys, because that's what you do when your computer doesn't work. You're going to start.
I mean, sometimes I'll hit OK a couple of times.
He's rapidly hitting the same key over and over.
Yeah.
You know, and then you see that he gets very frustrated. Doesn't know what he wants to do.
He wants to press delete is what he wants to do.
He's gravitating towards that.
Is that an inch ever closer, closer and closer and closer? Yeah. There's a knock at the door.
Well, we see even his finger on the delete button, and we're like, didn't we just see this, you know, 5-6 minutes ago? Stay away from the delete button. And then, as you said, saved by the knock at the door.
Delete. Film is worse off because of it.
And then it's great how they try to raise the tension by showing these three guys in the van just like looking, waiting to see the apartment blow up.
You want them to start chanting like, press delete, press delete, and they don't, and he doesn't.
Because interrupted.
Just imagine, he presses delete, he blows up, Lucy McLean becomes the psychic. Better film.
Correct.
Again, no offense to Justin Long, I think he's good enough.
Yeah, while he's dealing with his glitch, he goes, what? Oh, come on. God damn it. And then when we switch to the scene back with the assassins, I guess you can call them, in the car, so one of them starts speaking in French and says, Plan B, we do it ourselves.
Yeah, they didn't give it a lot of time. The virus has only just uploaded, and they're already, you haven't pressed delete. It's been 4.5 seconds. Let's go. Right. Got to kill this guy.
So they send one of the guys out with a small suitcase that he runs across the street, you know, to go take care of it. And then Farrell is standing next to the door and goes, who is it? And he goes, NYPD, open the door, please. So you see there's the proof that John still is NYPD, as opposed to saying, Camden Police.
Sure. Yes, you're right.
Farrell, you know, despite being a hacker, still decides to open the door. You know, he leaves the chain on, but he opens the door and he looks at John. And
but, I mean, John's going to have heard he was in there because the music playing loudly, and he's going to have heard that he's definitely in there because he's just, Matt Farrell's just turned the music off.
And the lights on.
And the lights on. So I feel like it's open the door or have the door kicked in. Are the two options here.
And then John says to him.
And he picks the name Daisy Duke.
He goes, NYPD.
Bad at this.
He goes, oh, I get it. Don't worry. Everyone gets lost around here. Glad to help. Take. And he goes, I'm not lost. Are you Matthew Farrell? No, he actually doesn't live here anymore. Of course not. And who are you? He goes, Daisy Duke. My name is Daisy Duke. Got a lot of shit when I was.
You've got to assume that you got to assume that John maybe has a picture.
Well, forget about that. You think that John knows who you Daisy think, Duke is?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Matt's picking the name Daisy Duke, knowing it's a fake name, but it's a bad decision from his part.
Correct.
Of all the names to pick a different name.
Do you know who Daisy Duke is?
Yeah. Yes, she was played by Jessica Simpson in the film. The Duke of Hazzard. The only instance the Duke of Hazzard I've seen.
I was thinking more from the TV show The Duke of Hazzard.
I don't know what you're talking about. There's Sean William Scott. There's the guy from Jackass whose name I can't remember right now. Burt Reynolds is in it. It's a bad film. Yeah, he plays Boss Hogg.
No. Wait, oh, you're talking about the movie. I'm talking about the TV show.
Yeah. What do you mean TV show? It's a movie.
Okay.
2005 came out 2 years before this did. It's on everyone's mind when they're making a Die Hard 4.0. Jerry Knoxville. God damn it. What is his name?
Okay. I'll give you that one.
I'm aware there's a TV show. I've never seen it. It's a TV show.
And Daisy Duke is the very attractive cousin of Bo and Luke Duke.
Yes. Famous for wearing shorts that are basically just underwear.
Very, very short shorts.
I believe her boots were made for walking, and that's just what they'll do.
Just to walk all over you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, funny is that the shorts that she wears are known as Daisy Dukes.
I am aware of that, yes. I believe that's where the name comes from. It's not some massive coincidence.
But it means that nobody had tried that beforehand.
Or if they had, they just hadn't made it quite as popular as she did.
Correct. And, Farrell then gets cut off by saying, got a lot of support when I was... And that's the end of this minute. Did you have anything else you want to say about this minute,
Jay? I did not. Okay. We have covered it all.
So the segment that we will be doing today is Franchise Fever, where my guests will give their top five movie franchises that have at least four movies in them. So why don't you once again start with your number five and work your way up?
A lot of options here. A lot of good franchises. A lot of bad franchises, a lot of great franchises with some terrible entries. I'd be interested to see or to hear how some of your other guests tabulate this. I did do on my personal site, Life vs. Film, I did do a post ranking top franchises where I did it mathematically, where I gave a score to every entry of the major franchises that I'd seen and worked out the average best and did it based on that. I didn't do that this time. That's too much work. This time I just went on. What do I like?
You can use that as a basis.
I certainly could have done it. I didn't. Instead, I just made a list of franchises and thought, I like these ones the best. So this could be, I think there's going to be a lot of recency bias in this based on films I'm thinking of at the moment because there's upcoming sequels. But number five features Mary Elizabeth Winstead from this film in its third installment. Final Destination is my horror franchise of choice. Love it so much. I really, it's a franchise that really sticks with me. Part six, Bloodlines, has not come out at the time of recording, but I'm very much looking forward to it. Number four in it is my least favorite, but I watched it recently for the first time in a while, and I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. So this franchise is going up in my estimation. Number four, I feel like you might think this should be higher on my list, but it's not. It's Jurassic Park. A franchise. I love this franchise. The first film is the greatest film ever made. The second film is far better than lots of people give it credit for. The fourth is a lot of fun. I have my problems with 3, 5, and 6, but I will still watch them any day of the week.
No, of course.
Dinosaurs. Basically, it's dinosaurs. Number three is the Mission Impossible franchise. Seven films so far, with the eighth coming out soon. I would say only Mission Impossible 2 is the one that I think could be better, but still some fun in there. But there's some perfect films in this franchise. I love Ghost Protocol. I love Fallout. I love Dead Reckoning Part 1. Final Reckoning is said to be incredible. I can't wait. Tom Cruise is going to kill himself on screen at some point. I don't want that to happen, but the guy's insane, and I'm happy to watch him be insane. Number two, Toy Story. Love these films. Mentioned them yesterday with Officer Giggles McDimples and Woody. Four wonderful films. Three, I would say, perfect films, and the fourth one is still really, really good. No more notes. My number one. Not all technically films. Some of them are shorts. Don't care. Wallace and Gromit. I love the Wallace and Gromit franchise. There are six technically films in air quotes in this franchise. They are all just utterly delightful. I cannot think of a better way to spend the day than to watch all of these films back to back. The creativity of Aardman to create a character like Gromit, a silent character, but imbued with so much emotion, you just have an eyebrow that's sometimes not even there to work with. And then to go from that and make a penguin with no moving features on their head and make them the most terrifying villain cinema has ever seen. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's stupefying that they would do that. So, Feathers McGraw. Find that bird. The Oceans franchise and the Lego franchise nearly made it onto my list. But then I realized I included both of them in my top trilogies when we did Die Hard 3. And I thought, I've covered them. They're done. So I kicked them off of this list.
Okay, fair enough. All right, now we will move on to the daily segment.
I had forgotten already.
State your motto. So,
where are we going now?
We are going to Alabama.
Okay.
Is it In God We Trust, To the Stars Through Difficulties, or We Dare to Defend Our Right?
To the Stars Through Difficulties feels like it should be like Florida, because that's where NASA's in Florida, isn't it?
NASA's also in Florida and also in Texas, but yeah.
Sure, but not Alabama, crucially. I'm going to say it's the We Dare to, however you finish that sentence.
We Dare to Defend
Our Right. Alabama.
That's what you think? And you were correct. Yes. That is Alabama.
Hey.
Yeah.
Great. I'm shocked.
The Latin phrase is Audimus Jura Nostra Defendere.
Ah, I recognize it now.
I'm glad that you now figured that out. That's good. So
my Latin's a little rusty.
Yeah. They only officially adopted it as their motto in 1939, even though it was it's written in Latin on the original coat of arms of Alabama.
Okay.
It's the second state motto. The first motto originally was "Here We Rest." So I think
Alabama, the retirement state.
That's right. Which goes again, maybe Florida, but
yes, exactly.
Yeah. So this the phrase "We Dare to Defend Our Rights" actually comes from a poem, which is known "What Constitutes a State?" That's the name of the poem, which was published in 1781 by Sir William Jones. The poem advances his ideas on government and morality, considered by scholars as his greatest political poem. He criticized the widespread corruption of the day and misuse of monarchical power. That is why they chose that as their motto. All right, so Jay, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Sure. So I mentioned earlier, my personal site is lifeversusfilm.com, where if you wanted to, or interested, you could find out that my back in 2013, my top five movie franchises were number five, Batman, then Ice Age, Scream, The Terminator, and Indiana Jones, none of which made it on my top five today. So great. How times change. But Mission Impossible was in the top 10. And Final Station was in honorable mentions along with Police Academy. So great. lifeversusfilm.com is my personal site. I am trying to be more active on it this year than I have historically been in the past. And I'm doing well in that I have posted stuff this year, which is rare for me. But I'm currently, at the time of recording, I'm filling in some Spielberg and David Lynch blind spots, which was my plan before David Lynch sadly passed away. But I'm reviewing Twin Peaks and episode by episode. I've only posted one at the moment, but I have draft copies of the next three, so that's good. Just pictures take a while to do. Lifeversusfilm.com is my personal site where you can find me writing about stuff, mainly movies.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. You can send me an email to movieroundminute@movieround.net. You can find me on Instagram, you can find me on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter. So, until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue, yeah. But it ain't me. It ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one.